Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
But if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll be in Psalms chapter 104. And this is an introduction to our Creator God series that we will begin March the 10th. And so let's pick up in verse 24. I wish we had time for all of Psalms 104, but we just can't do it all. But let's pick up in verse 24. He says, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is the Leviathan, which you have made to play there. These all wait for you that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they are filled with good. Verse 29, you hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created. And you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live and will sing praise to my God. And I've took the title from right here, while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the poem and the inspired word that we have in Psalms 104. And Lord, we thank you that as we look outside and we look at creation, that we see a designer, we see an artist, we see an innovator, an inventor, a creator, who took from nothing and made all that there is by your spoken word through your creative imagination, infinite in wisdom. And God, we pray this morning that you would help us to praise you every day while we have our being. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to get right into this. But I want to point out a few things about this poem in Psalms 104, and you can mark this or write this down if you want to. But we don't know for sure who wrote this. We don't know if it was King David or who actually wrote the chapter, Psalms 104. But we know that Psalms 103 is about God being sovereign over circumstances, and Psalms 104 is about God being sovereign over creation. But if you look in the days of creation in Genesis, you'll see in this poem that there's a great parallel to Genesis chapter 1. The first four verses in Psalms 104 point to the first and second days of creation in Genesis 1. Verses 5 through 9 is the first half of the third day of creation. Verses 10 through 18 is the second half of the third day of creation. Then we get to days 4, 5, and 6. That you can see paralleled in verses 19 through 30. And then day 7, where God rested and gloried in all that he created, in verses 31 through 35. This poem is a praise and a blessing to the Lord for what he has done on earth and created. And his created works are to point us to himself. And so that's very interesting to me. But the first thing I want you to see in this text today is this, that while I have my being, I will praise you as the creator of all creation. We live in a day today when creation is denied that God created it. We live in a day when evolution theory is called accurate and called science, when it's not even proven. There's no ability to prove the evolutionary theory. And a lot of it because of today's DNA. And today's science has already been debunked, but nobody's willing to admit it. And the truth is, everything that you see outside came from a God who created. And God is the creator of the universe. And so look at verse 24, and don't miss this. He says, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. That's one of the things I like about going hunting. Now, I never harvest a deer or anything like that very often, as you full well know. But I really enjoy going hunting because I like to look at the trees. I like to look at the ground. And sometimes I like to look at the back of my eyelids and take a good nap. That's probably why I'm not killing a deer. But I enjoy hunting because I want to see the sun coming up. I enjoy an evening hunt because I like to see the moon and see the things that are happening right before dark. And God has made this universe to point to Himself. And so whenever we look at creation, creation is supposed to speak and declare the glory of God. It speaks to us. So He is the creator of all creation. That word manifold literally means many and abundant, artistic, intelligent, with intent. And it was in wisdom. He didn't just make something and then leave it to itself. Have you noticed how nature is balanced? There are certain animals that if they didn't exist, other animals couldn't survive. And so God in wisdom has made everything. And the earth is full of His possessions. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, you ought to write that down because it's so powerful. In fact, it's a very long run-in sentence. And so I want to read just a portion of it, starting in verse 9 of Ephesians. And he says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, now watch this, through Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You see, that's what we now, through Jesus Christ, as born-again believers, have an understanding that when all things were made, Jesus was there. We have an understanding that Jesus, it's like Donna saying a while ago, His name is great because He's a creator. And we, listen, He didn't just come at Bethlehem. Jesus is the Son of God from everlasting. He is creator from ages past, but He's revealed these things to us. And now through that wisdom that we have, it is our job to reveal it to others because we know Him as creator God. But let's move on to the next one. There is wisdom and wonder. So while I have my being, I will praise you as the creator of all creation. I will praise you for your wisdom and the wonder of the oceanic world. I think it's interesting that the writer of Psalms here pointed out the oceans and the teeming things that are within the ocean. And you don't want to miss this. Look at verse 25. Now, we know the Hebrews were not Navy people, but next door to them, just a few miles away, was Tyre and Sidon, and those were Navy people. And so you can just see, as the writer is being inspired of the Holy Spirit, and he is penning these words, and maybe he's looking out over the vast ocean, and maybe he sees a big old whale or a dolphin come up out of the ocean and dive back in, and he sees the fish, and he sees the ships that are going out across the massive ocean, and he is moved, and he is in awe at God's creation. And this is what he says. He says, this great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. He sees the ships. There the ships sail about. There is the Leviathan, which you have made to play there. Let's stop right here just for a minute. The Leviathan, it can mean a large sea creature of an unknown identity. In some books of the Bible, it is in context of what we believe to be a crocodile. So the Leviathan is a general term for a great big something or another that God has made. In this case, that great big something or another that I believe that he is talking about is a whale. Now, I want you to think about a whale for just a minute and think about how wise God is and about the wonder of the oceanic world. Dr. Job Martin does a great job at breaking down the characteristics and the designs, and I can't get into all of it, of the blue whale and of the humpback whale. It's very interesting. And Dr. Job is a creationist. He's also got a degree in biology. And the blue whale is the biggest animal we know of that God created. Even in fossil records, there's nothing that can match the blue whale. The blue whale can take in up to 5,000 gallons of air per minute. That's a lot of air. It can weigh up to 300,000 pounds. 300,000 pounds. Now think of it, its size is comparable to a bus. That's a big sea creature. The tongue alone can weigh up to as much as an elephant. A large blue whale can have up to 22 tons of blubber. It's complex in design, coming to locating its food. Did you know a blue whale has been designed by God with an internally built sonar system? And that the blue whale can communicate, they say, on when the conditions are right, that another blue whale 1,000 miles away can hear that blue whale through its communication skills. It's got an incredibly high and loud frequency. And in fact, a lot of our designs for radar and sonar and things like that have come by the way that it works with a blue whale. But God put this in an animal. It's incredible. And so how does it locate its food? If it doesn't smell the food, if it's not seeing the food, just looking for it, how is it locating it? Sonar. It sends out sound waves. And the sound waves go out and it locates massive schools. Predominantly what a blue whale eats is krill. And krill are about 2 inches long. They look kind of like a shrimp. And these krill get in massive schools. And the krill will during the day, they stay at the bottom of the ocean. But during the night, they come to the top because all the fish in the sea like to eat krill. So they go to eat their food at night when nobody's looking. And they go to the top of the surface of the ocean and they eat plankton. And I mean, they just get in these big, tight schools. The blue whale sends out a sonar and it comes back giving it a reading. The ears of a blue whale are absolutely incredible. It is able to interpret what came back and what it is that sound wave bounced off of. Only God can do that. And so it comes back and says, yum, yum, school of krill. 5 miles down the road, right at the top of the surface. The blue whale takes off. And you ask yourself, how do they eat all of them? Because there's little bitty things. How is that going to fill up a 300,000-pound whale? God made the whale know how to eat. So what he does, the whale gets up underneath that school of those krill, and he begins to blow air out of that hole on top of his back. And as that air goes up, those bubbles are like a net. Those krill run from the bubbles. The whale goes in a big circle underneath that school, and he surrounds them with the bubbles. The krill begin to go to the center where there's no bubbles. The whale continues to go in concentric circles till he's got those krill right in the middle. He dives down. He turns around. He opens his mouth wide open, and his mouth has an ability to filter a ton of water as it comes in. And so what happens is the whale comes right up the center of all the bubbles and he eats the whole school of krill. And then he says, that feels a lot better now. And he dives back down and he waits till tomorrow night. And he goes and feeds on some more krill. God put it into that whale to know how to catch those krill. God put it into that whale to know how to find that school of fish. He put it into that whale in how to communicate with his frequencies. God, when he created, listen, evolution, something that is believed that happens from a simple cell by chance, could never form something like that. The evolutionist says that a whale was a land animal that decided to become a sea animal. Now, that's just ridiculous. But yet, the air a whale breathes is from a separate section from its mouth. You and I, our nose is connected to our mouth. But not with a whale. It was designed for what it does, to live in the sea. The psalmist sees that and he understands it. Look at verse 27. He says, these all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with food. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. In other words, what we're seeing right here is the psalmist is saying, there's one thing I've learned about God. He is in complete control of his creation. You and I could not take our next breath if God didn't allow it. The Bible says not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of the Father. God is in control. He says, you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created. And you renew the face of the earth. Have you ever wondered about the continual process that takes place on earth? We look outside right now and everything is dead. The leaves are off the trees and think the grass is not green. The weeds, some fall weeds are trying to grow. But you know what will happen in just a few weeks? As spring nears and as the warmer weather nears, all of a sudden the trees are going to be full again. And they're going to have green leaves and you're going to see green grass and the flowers are going to start blooming. By the time we get to Easter, we may have daylilies. And so God renews the face of the ground. Now, did you and I have anything to do with that? Not one thing. You and I can't do that. Now, we can tend to God's creation. We can water it. We can cultivate it. We can fertilize it. We can tend to his creation. But we cannot make his creation grow. Because he has organized that and set that in place in Genesis 1. Evolution did not cause the continuum of creation. It did not cause the solar system to continue in a perfect pattern so accurately that we can set our clocks by it. That's a great designer. Look at the artistic work. I love going to the zoo. In fact, I can't wait to get back to the Amazon because you get to see those great big parrots and all those birds that live in the jungle. And the colors are amazing. But when you look at the feathers on these animals that God made, on these birds, the colors change perfectly. It's like God took a line and just drawed it and said, let the color go to there and stop. It's perfect. I mean, even if it catches just a little bit of another feather, it's perfect. Why? Because God is the artist of creation. Evolution can't design anything that beautiful. Look at a zebra. Look at a leopard. Look at a giraffe. Can you imagine? God has a sense of humor when he made the giraffe. Two short legs, two long legs, and a neck that reaches up halfway above the trees. Why does he do that? Because he is a great designer. That leads us to our next point, and it's this. While we have our being, we will praise God for his provision and power of all creation. Now, you don't want to miss this principle right here. Look at verse 27. He says, these all wait for you. Now, he's speaking in the context of the sea creatures, but it also applies to the land creatures. And what he's saying is God, all of these sea creatures are waiting on you to provide. They know innately that you're the provider. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And all of creation knows that God is the provider. But there's something interesting that you don't want to miss. That you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, in verse 28, what you give them, they gather in. God provides, but he leaves creation responsible to gather. Now that's why the Bible says, let a man work. A person is supposed to work. Why? Because God provides. He provides for us, but it's up to us to go gather it in. When he rained down the manna from heaven, they had to go out and gather the manna. When God provides the seed, we've got to go out and plant the seed and harvest the seed. There is something that brings glory to God when we tend to his creation, when we use his creation, when we gather of his creation. And listen, you may not like your job, but when you go to work tomorrow, praise God, say, God, you've given it, and now it's my turn to go gather it because you're providing for your family by gathering from the job that he has provided. It's an amazing thing. The animals do that instinctively. They do that because they're created to do that. I love to watch squirrels. The acorns will go fall, and then here goes this little happy squirrel, the happiest little animals on earth, and he's just wagging his tail and barking at everything around him. So the squirrel gathers the acorns, and then he takes off, and he digs him a little hole somewhere, and he hides those acorns. God provided, and he gathereth. Go look at a fish aquarium when you put that little stuff at the top, and I like to watch it start floating down through the water and watch those fish. Here they come. The provision is coming down, but the fish have got to go gather the food. There is a responsibility for creation to do its part. Grass and plants and trees, they grow towards the light. They grow towards the sun. They gather it in. They gather in the light. Why? Because it's been built into them. Evolution could never do that. God created His creation to depend on Him, to trust Him for provision. But we have a responsibility to gather it in. He says in verse 29, "You hide your face and they are troubled." How could God hide His face? Let the rain stop. We hear all kinds of noise about climate change and global warming and all these different things. The Bible says as long as the earth remains, winter and summer. You see, God's in control of this planet. When He created it, He took into an account that we'd own a car, a lawnmower, and a tractor. God took all this stuff into an account. He sees everything. He knows the very last day, and He says that the earth has been reserved for fire. Why? Because sinners and sin that has consumed and cursed the earth. Sin has. And it's been reserved for fire. And I want to tell you, it's not going to be on fire because of climate change. It'll be on fire because of judgment from God. And so we need to get back to the Word of God and quit listening to everything we hear from the intellectuals that deny God. Now, I love them. And it's my desire to pray for them and to see folks that deny God and deny creation to be saved. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to stand on what this book right here teaches because I believe it. And I see it when I look outside. So we have to have God for His provision and power. Psalms 145 verses 15 and 16 says this, "The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." This is what you don't want to miss. If God opens His hand to provide for us, and if life today and tomorrow is because of God's hand, when we drink water, it's because of God's hand. The air that we breathe in is because of God's hand. The heartbeat that we have is because of God's hand. The vegetables that we grow, the animals that we harvest for meat, all of these things is because of God's hand. He gives it to us. We gather it in, but here's the point that I think we are supposed to see. God gave us something in Jesus. And the Bible says that after He fed the 5,000, they were following Him because they wanted another miracle or they wanted another meal. Well, He just multiplied that. Well, good grief, I'm following Him around everywhere. This is eat for free. He'll just bless and multiply it and feed us from now on. And He says, you don't understand in John chapter 6. You missed the purpose of what I'm trying to show you. You missed why I broke the loaves and fed over 5,000. You missed it. And then He gives the answer to it, and I believe it's what we are to see too. He says, "For the bread of God," in John 6:33, "for the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." He's saying, just as I provide for all of the animal world and all of the vegetable world and all of the cosmos, He says, just as I provide for you, He says, there is a food that is much greater. The one who actually created the food by which you consume has come down to be your spiritual food, to save you and to redeem you and to atone for your sin so that you meet the Creator of the created. Is that powerful or what? And that leads us to our fourth statement and affirmation of things that we'll believe while we still have our being. Blessing and blesser of all creation. God is the blessing and blesser of all creation. While I have my being, I'm going to give Him the glory for my blessings. While I have my being, I'm going to give Him the glory as the blesser. If God decides to withhold and not bless, no matter what we do on earth can change His mind. Because God is sovereign and in control. Look at verse 31 through verse 35. And he gets to verse 31. It says, "May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. He's saying, Lord, rejoice in Your works. We have nothing to do with it. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. Jesus walked on water. Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus had power over the wind. Why did He have all of those things? Because He created all of those things from His spoken word, right out of His mind. Verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. But then there's the meditation side where we meditate on His word. Verse 34, may my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad in the Lord. But then He ends this wonderful psalm with verse 35. Verse 35 doesn't seem to fit, but it fits perfectly well, because as He's looking at creation, He's realizing something's gone wrong in creation. Sin's entered it. Oh God, if sin just wasn't here, it'd be a perfect creation, Lord. And He says, may sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. He's saying that for God's glory, not Himself. He's saying, God, I know it's got to be hurtful to You to see the sin in the world. And oh God, for Your glory, one day remove that so it'll be perfect as You once had it in the Garden of Eden. And He said, the wicked be no more. And then He closes with this. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. I want to conclude with a thought on something. Because if you miss this, you've missed the purpose of the chapter. There was a Frenchman by the name of Charnay that years ago had found himself in the bad graces of Napoleon. He ended up getting thrown into a cold and damp dungeon. And Charnay felt that he was totally forsaken by everyone, including the outside world. He didn't think anybody cared. In his loneliness and despair, he took a stone and he scratched on the wall of his cell, nobody cares. One day he noticed a green shoot of a plant of some kind had sprouted in the crack between the stones of the floor. It was the only thing living that he had seen, besides when they would bring him a little water and a little food and drop it down to him. The stem of the green shoot began to reach up towards the light coming through a tiny window at the top of the dungeon cell. So the prisoner started saving a little bit of his water every time they would bring it, and he watered the little sprout. The little sprout continued to grow towards the light. Eventually, it became a plant with beautiful blue flowers. And the man seemed to have become a friend of God through his created plant. When the flowers came into full bloom, the prisoner scratched out the words he had previously written that said, nobody cares, and he wrote above them, God cares. Then one day, another prisoner's daughter was permitted to visit prisoners in the other dungeons. The little girl was amazed at Charnay's love for the plant and the care he had provided for it. The plant had grown all the way up to the window at the top of the dungeon, producing beautiful blue flowers. Eventually, the story that the little girl had to share reached the admirable Empress Josephine, who commented this: a man who so devotedly loves and tends a flower cannot be a bad man. So she persuaded the emperor to set him free. Charnay went back and got his flower, removed it, carried it home, continued to care for it the rest of his life, and he often remarked that it was this simple flower reaching up to God's light that caused him to believe in God. That's the purpose of creation. Let's pray.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.